Chapter 8. Step by Step, Getting Better. It was a sunny day after class let out early, which meant 1A was arranged in their usual rambling constellation on the campus green and yammering about hopes and homework. Everything and nothing. Today it was clearly something. Half of their number were clustered around Tsuyu, who would have looked perturbed by all the attention to anyone who didn't know her. Upon closer inspection, her meek, rhythmic little croaks belied her anxiety, as did the huge finger tapping against her mouth. "You saw it? It was really Aizawa-sensei? You're sure?" someone pressed, other students muttering to each other in general disbelief. Tsuyu apparently didn't sleep much, and often headed to school early to study, rising with the dawn. That day, on her way, she saw something. "Yes, and the purple-haired student. I saw them sparring before class, Carol," she said with a tilt of her head, dark eyes glossy. She blinked, one eye just slightly off time, a reptilian little reminder that never failed to send a shiver down her classmates' unguarded spines. "Why is that interesting?" "Is it really that kid from the sports festival? Is he even in the hero course?" More muttering. It was a bit shameful that they still didn't know who actually belonged in 1B and who didn't. Maybe the purple-haired kid was right, and they were a little arrogant. Or just hyper-focused on their own survival, which had not been nearly as assured as that of the other classes. It led to closing ranks, as only closeness had kept them alive so far. "Hell no, he's general studies," came the scoff, instantly recognizable as Mineta. "What I don't get is why Aizawa-sensei is doing it. He already failed his chance to transfer for a whole year after tanking so hard at the festival. So why train now? If we get extra homework because this guy pisses Aizawa-sensei off, I'm talking to the dean." "I'm sure Aizawa-sensei knows what he's doing," Kirishima's voice lilted, light and hopeful. "Come on, guys, it's not our problem, yeah? We should probably get going anyway." "Maybe it's preventative, to keep him from turning into a villain," Ashido whispered, undeterred, her long, willowy fingers plucking at her bubblegum curls. "I saw that look in his eye as he left the stage after fighting Deku. It was spooky. He was, like, more than angry." "Please, that wasn't even a fight. And that's the whole point. He tricked Deku. His whole quirk is just bad," Kaminari said with disgust, shaking his head. "Why would Aizawa-sensei waste time on something like that?" "Something like that?" Midoriya, cross-legged under a nearby tree, and previously hiding his hero law book, couldn't keep his silence anymore. "I think Shinso has a noble spirit," Midoriya protested. He was chagrined by the dismissiveness of his classmates, even as he didn't have too much to back up his claim. A realization that hit him just as everyone, Kaminari, Ashido, Mineta, Tsuyu, Sero, and Kirishima, turned to look at him. Midoriya's fingers crawled across the page, shoulders rising in reflex to the amount of eyes on him, and he had to fight not to lapse into his trademark stifled mutter. "Aizawa-sensei probably saw that and is helping him. It's what teachers do." He swallowed, trying not to hear how dumb he sounded. His neck heated up, acutely aware of how Uraraka and Ida were watching him flounder too. And he has a name. It's Shinso. And just because he's general studies doesn't mean he doesn't have dreams. So if he wants to win the festival next year and transfer, he probably needs to start training right now. To be sure, you know? "Must be hard work losing that big," someone snickered. And Midoriya shut his book, stung. "All he wants is to become a hero," he said through his teeth, louder. Reminding them, maybe, because weren't they all where Shinso was at one point? To his surprise, it was Kaminari who stepped out of the crowd, one thumb slung roguishly in his belt. "Remind you of anyone you know?" Kaminari sighed, pushing his bristling yellow hair back with aplomb. "And who was quoting Stain the day after, idiot?" Kaminari jumped in place, and everyone turned to see Bakugo striding towards them at breakneck pace, lip curled. The kids promptly peeled away, out of the path he was burning down the campus green. "Oh, I just didn't have all the information that day," Kaminari stuttered, waving his hands and instantly retreating under Bakugo's searing displeasure as he came within arm's reach. He didn't get a chance to excuse himself or even run, as their resident walking explosion snagged him by the collar and kept going, never slowing his pace and nearly yanking the smaller boy off his feet in the process. "Next time, don't open your mouth until you do," Bakugo sneered down at him, then turned to the rest of his crew as he walked off, dragging Kaminari after. "Come on, we're going to be late to the park." Previously frozen, the little cluster erupted into whines and groans. "Oh, was that today? Oh, man. Ha, that's what I was trying to say, guys. It's like my internship all over again." "Get your asses in gear, losers. We're going, and you're not going to make me late." Kachan and the others had public service for getting in trouble earlier that week, as Aizawa-sensei apparently had begun outsourcing his punishments due to the new demands on his time. The notorious crew headed off to their penance with as much rabble as they'd gotten into it, Bakugo dragging Kaminari by the collar even as he insisted he could walk, Ashido and Sero giggling non-stop, and Kirishima assuring them that a little trash pickup would be fun, like a game. The remaining students watched a little too long, if just because it was easier than picking up their conversation. Quietly, Midoriya turned back to their loose study circle and found one of his classmates with a particularly stricken look on his face. "Ojiro-kun?" Ojiro looked down at the sound of his name, closing his own book and taking a moment. As he thought, Tsuyu came to sit beside him with a tiny croak, her legs folded underneath her. She patted his arm. "Shinso-san apologized to me after," he said, haltingly, unsure, and his tail swept fitfully over the ground behind him, sending a fluff of shredded green into the warm air. He shook his head. "I don't know what to make of him. I don't have any reason to believe he's hero material, but neither do I think he's a villain waiting to happen. I can't trust him until I see something more, though, and that's not likely to happen since the courses are so segregated." The students nodded in agreement. Ojiro shook his head, resigned. "At this point, it is what it is, until next year's tournament." "I refuse to believe anyone's quirk is inherently evil," Ida said pensively, a finger to his chin. "But I do see how he could be angry, considering how the festival naturally isn't set up for his abilities. That is, or the hero course in general, despite how useful he could be in the field. I suppose those of us with physical quirks are more blessed than we know." Across from them, Uraraka nodded with a firm little grunt, hands balled into fists.
"He has to decide his own destiny. We all do," she sang, grinning and looking around at her classmates. "He has a chance next year, and maybe Aizawa-sensei sees something in him. Who knows? If there's a place for a miracle like that, it's UA. Ultimate freedom, right?"
"Agreed. Plus ultra," Ida called, fist up, and everyone gladly followed the chant.
Everyone but Midoriya, who was leaning forward and squinting after a flash of purple at the side of the Hero Course building. Laughter swelled around him, and far away, his stomach dropped. "Oh no," he muttered, discarding his book and pushing himself to his feet. "Shinso-san." His friends called after him, Uraraka's voice rising above the others, but Midoriya just waved his hand behind him as he hauled around the corner. Just as he thought, there was the general studies student wandering along the back of the Hero Course building, head bowed with hands in his pockets. Midoriya's chest tightened, wondering how long he'd been standing there, listening. Shinso's rambling pace didn't change, even as the younger student charged up to him, shouting,
Shinso-san, hey!
Shinso's long stride slowed, and Midoriya's schoolmate drifted to a stop on the fresh grass.
You shouldn't leave yourself open, you know, yelling like that.
Huh? Midoriya frowned as he came to a halt, staring at the back of Shinso's head.
Nobody ever yells at me. Aren't you afraid?
The boy said slowly.
That I'll make you do something stupid after you beat me at the festival?
No, I'm not afraid at all, Midoriya said with a shake of his curly head. He pushed on, insistent. And I'm not stupid for thinking that. I don't think that's the kind of person you are.
You sure do know a lot about me, Shinso said breezily, rocking back on his heels, staring up at the cloudless sky. You and your buddies.
Midoriya bit his lip, trying to remember everything that had been said. Everything that could have been taken badly.
My class, they're good people, I promise.
Then he flustered, remembering how tall and disdainful the other boy had stood in their class doorway, staring down Kachan of all people. He amended.
Not the best, but good.
Why should I believe you about them when they won't believe you about me? Shinso turned his head enough so Midoriya could see a flash of white teeth in a forced grin. He had definitely heard.
Maybe you're wrong both ways. A bad judge of character.
It's not my job to judge, Midoriya started slowly, frowning down at the grass. But a judge only makes a decision after seeing evidence. I haven't seen any evidence that you're bad, Shinso-san. I'm just believing you when you say you want to be a hero more than anything else, like All Might-sama and Eraserhead-sensei.
Yeah.
It was the first soft word out of his mouth, almost a sigh. Midoriya straightened, sensing some give in him. It was the thing Shinso really cared about, after all. Heroes. Midoriya cared, too. Probably more than anyone else here did. He was a hero fanboy at heart, thrust into a mad dream that he was still adjusting to. Maybe he and Shinso had that in common. Maybe they could become friends. They're really, inspiring, aren't they? It's amazing to be here at this school and learn from them. He ventured, trying to work his own voice above the standard meekness that came with unknown territory. You want to save people, and no matter what people say about general studies, I know you worked really hard to get here.
Not hard enough, I guess,
Shinso muttered, vaguely sing-song. Then his chin dropped to his chest. It sucks.
Maybe. But I think it's really cool that you're here, and you're still trying,
Midoriya insisted, balling his fists. He buckled down, feeling a smile take his face and warmth rush along his bones.
I think that's what a hero is, someone who never gives up. And you're not giving up. You're even training one-on-one with Aizawa-sensei, and man, that must be super hard.
Whatever encouraging stride he'd reached screeched to a halt as the other boy turned around and regarded him sullenly, even suspiciously, like he shouldn't know that. Maybe he shouldn't? Shinso didn't look happy about it either way. With no way to backtrack, Midoriya deflated and tugged at his perpetually stubby tie, clearing his throat.
I really hope that your training goes well and you succeed and come join us in 1A next year, or even 1B. That would be great. And since you'll be around, I guess I'd like to... Could we...
Shinso suddenly leaned forward, down, strange colored eyes fixed on him intently. And Midoriya's voice stuck in his throat. With the other boy so close, Midoriya's detail-oriented mind whirled out of control, sucking in details like they were essential to his imminent survival. The other boy had a bandage over his left eyebrow and a larger pad taped to his cheek, both dusted with red-brown at the edges, meaning they were fairly recent. His brows were sparse but furred, and his lip, recently split, had a natural pout to it that lent his face a permanently sullen cast. His nose was scraped but healing. Shinso looked deeply, eternally exhausted. But most of all, he looked uncommonly interested. Midoriya felt a shiver plow down his back to have that kind of attention on him, weighty and nerve-wracking with the power of the other boy's quirk, even as he tried not to think those kind of thoughts. But it was hard not to, after being turned into an obedient husk with a word. But this was a different scenario. They were students here, not opponents. So he simply stayed put, testing the concept and trying not to bite his lip until Shinzo spoke.
"You're so nervous. Are you asking me on a date?"
he asked quietly, unblinking.
"What? What? No!"
Midoriya yelped, suddenly violently mobile. He leapt away and clapped his hands over his mouth.
"I'm just a nervous person. I mean, I don't even know you. You."
"You knew me so well a minute ago, and now you don't?"
Shinzo laughed, brash and sudden, and then relaxed and ran a hand through his lavender tangle of hair. He tilted his head, unsmiling.
"Relax, kid. I'm messing with you."
"I'm not a kid."
It was all Midoriya could grit out, shivering, with his shoulders up to his earlobes and still burning with embarrassment of what had just happened. Which he was honestly still a little unclear on. Even as observant as he was, it was impossible to keep up with the strange boy's sudden shifts and unreadable expressions. No wonder Shinzo didn't seem to have many friends. But then, he probably didn't have much practice being friendly.
"You look like one. Like a kid," Shinzo said slowly, like he was trying to figure it out.
He gestured to the shorter boy's cheek, then poked it with an outstretched finger.
"It's the freckles."
Midoriya just squeaked and covered his face, frozen and flabbergasted, with utterly no idea how to proceed. Inconceivably, Shinzo picked up the slack.
"But I guess I'd like to hang out with you. And even your douchebag friends," he offered in low tones, looking at him and then away at the wall.
"If that's what you were about to say."
"Yeah? Yeah,"
Midoriya eked out, head whirling, and pried his hands from his face.
Definitely.
Shinzo nodded, and Midoriya inclined his head hurriedly, arms straight at his sides. It was settled, somehow. The truth was, Midoriya knew what it was to be alone, what it looked like, and Shinzo fit that memory all too well. To be a hero was to help. Shinzo didn't look like he needed help, necessarily, but maybe he wanted it. Midoriya was willing to afford the truly unnecessary amount of staring to find out. What followed was a strange exchange, exactly in keeping with the tone of their conversation. Shinzo put out a hand and gestured impatiently until Midoriya realized he wanted his phone. He handed it over, and a smirk split the other boy's round face.
"Cool theme," he said as he put in his number.
Midoriya felt himself blush. It was an All Might background and icon set he had downloaded a year ago and kept because he didn't like the new shiny, bubbly 3D look of the newer versions. It probably made him look like the worst kind of dork, but part of coming to UA was learning to own that kind of thing.
Thanks, he said with a laugh, cringing only a little.
His phone gave a little trill to indicate the number had saved.
"I like Eraserhead better," Shinzo mumbled, handing the phone back with a limp wrist and his eyes on the ground once more.
Midoriya took it, awkwardly trying not to skim his schoolmate's fingers in the process.
"But there's no theme downloads for him, like, ever."
"I think he likes it that way,"
Midoriya offered, and was rewarded with a flash of teeth and a short laugh.
"Yeah, probably."
With that, Shinzo nodded and turned heel to go, once more slouching with his hands in his pockets.
"Let me know if they're okay with it. Your friends. I don't go where I'm not wanted," he muttered,
then smirked over his shoulder, adding, "I play a lot of video games."
"Oh, okay, maybe I can play them with you?"
Midoriya called after him, phone still in his hand. He'd never had video games when he was a kid. Not real ones, anyway. But then again, he'd always been an action figure kind of kid.
Maybe.
Shinso waved, just barely higher than his shoulder, and was gone. Midoriya looked down at his phone with a dawning smile. 41 contacts, up from 40, and felt his world expanding. It wasn't about the numbers, not really. Not so deep inside, useless Deku from middle school saw every new name, and all he could think was, one more friend, up from none, and everyone precious. No one deserved to be lonely. Maybe, in a world where no one was lonely, there wouldn't be villains. Grinning, Midoriya ran back to join his classmates, already wondering where they were going to get their customary after-school studying snack.
Especially with the days getting longer as they turned towards summer, it wasn't often that Toshinori found himself walking home in the dark, or even outside past midnight. He'd gotten caught up with something or other, and before he knew it, the campus lights were flickering on. He worked a little longer, then shelved his half-finished lecture, and decided to call it a night. With as empty as the Hero Building hallways were, he thought he was clear for further staff interactions once he crossed the green. But that was before he glanced a certain familiarly rumpled silhouette at the bus station on the edge of campus. With the height and unruly mane, he couldn't be anyone other than Aizawa. He was standing in front of a poorly lit vending machine, unmoving. Of course, Toshinori couldn't just walk away, especially considering the inside view he had recently gained on Aizawa's troubled relationship with sleep. After a moment's consideration, he approached with caution, hands clasped behind his back.
Toshinori,
Aizawa said as he approached, eyes still pinned on the vending machine. His name was little more than a burdened exhale, and Toshinori nearly turned tail and left from the sheer amount of disappointment in the younger hero's voice. Like he was ready for something entirely unpleasant. Maybe just to prove him wrong, Toshinori found the mettle to stand his ground at a respectful arm's distance, just inside the bus station awning, and cleared his throat. "Good evening, Aizawa-kun," he began carefully. "It's unusual I catch you on campus like this. I thought you'd gone home hours ago." There was a long pause as the two men stood there. Toshinori glanced at the blue-white glare of the weathered vending machine, which held gum and jellies and candy and the like. Quick fixes for exhaustion as far as Aizawa was concerned, which made the older hero worry, somewhat, again, about his sleep. "Are you having a hard time choosing a flavor?" he prodded after a moment, forcing a smile. With that, Aizawa visibly snapped out of something and gave a stilted shake of his head. "I said I'd help the principal with something a while back, so I stayed late. No helping it," he said dully. Toshinori frowned. Surely the principal knew that Aizawa had taken on an extra load with training Shinso. But then Nezu was extremely demanding as a leader, for being so easy to get along with, and his lines where he drew them were sharp as his teeth. Toshinori was the newcomer here. He trusted Aizawa to know the appropriate course of action, even if the result left him stranded in front of a vending machine as if hypnotized by the watery flickering light.
"While I'm crossing things off my list,"
Aizawa continued, still staring at the vending machine,
"I think it's time for a check-in."
"A check-in?" Toshinori repeated, baffled. He briefly wondered if the younger hero was speaking in tongues or perhaps running a fever. Aizawa nodded.
"On our arrangement."
He paused, giving Toshinori ample time to simply expire, murdered by the horrendous intersection of Aizawa's incomparable bluntness, the late hour, and what was supposed to be a simple bus stop conversation.
"How was it?"
he asked, unruffled. The older man narrowly avoided coughing blood onto his fellow teacher's shoulder, and had to sternly muffle himself in his handkerchief for a few seconds, until he marginally calmed down. How was it? Their arrangement? Toshinori's poor heart could more easily punch out of his chest than find the right words for that particular question. Fine? Toshinori eked out, glancing around hurriedly to make sure there weren't any eavesdroppers. But no, it really was almost 1 a.m. on the edge of a high school campus. He really should have gone to bed hours ago. The older hero took a deep breath, gathering himself. It's wonderful, educational, surprising, that's for certain, he finished a little grimly, looking down at the man who still hadn't met his eyes. Aizawa nodded again, in slow motion. Good. The silence stretched long enough that doubt began to creep into the older hero's panic. Was this less of a check-in and more of a prelude to breaking it all off? Toshinori's heart pinched dreadfully. Maybe more horrified that there could be such a difference in their enjoyment that would trigger such an abrupt end. He thought things were going wonderfully, despite some fumbling and insecurities. But there was the threat that Aizawa would always surprise him when he least expected it. And for you? Toshinori pressed hoarsely when he found his voice, hoping he didn't sound nearly as worried as he was. Also good, Aizawa answered in that same dull tone. Any relief Toshinori felt was immediately derailed with the next question. Are you having any thoughts about romance? No? Toshinori blinked down at him, stunned. Want to take me on a date to that new sukiyaki place or make an honest man out of me? Aizawa continued, unnervingly glib and unpleasant. If Toshinori was startled, and he certainly was, it broke out of him as a halting laugh as he thought through what the relentlessly unsociable man just said. Oh my, you hate that side of town, and you certainly don't seem like the type to get married. Toshinori said, chuckling at the very thought of Aizawa at the altar or discussing cake flavors, perhaps still in his sleeping bag. With a tuxedo inside? So? Aizawa prompted, looking up at him for the first time that day, dry, tired, and expectant. Toshinori's mirth died in his throat. No, he repeated, affirmed, insisted. Toshinori swallowed and found himself looking away, tugging at the edge of his suit jacket, the place where his stomach used to be prickled. No thoughts of that nature. His mind jangled, trying to sort through the friction between his own words and the painful pull in his chest. He had never imagined taking Aizawa to an overpriced restaurant or marrying him in a spray of flowers. And he never lied, right? Aizawa continued to study him in the dim, shaking light of the vending machine, looking more into him than at him. For a moment, Toshinori could almost hear something clicking in the rational man's head. Then Aizawa returned his attention to the machine. Good, he said quietly. More silence. Toshinori shifted from foot to foot. Was I showing warning signs? He ventured, feeling a little sick as the joking words left his mouth. It was probably the late hour. He hadn't eaten, after all. Aizawa tilted his head. Just time for a check-in, he repeated, voice as distant as the light buzzing above them. And that was it. Aizawa-kun, my friend, Toshinori began heavily, when they stood in deafening silence under the bus stop awning for 5 more agonizing minutes. What in the world are you doing? Aizawa sighed so deeply the older hero was surprised he didn't deflate on the spot. I'm trying to decide whether to go back to smoking or not. What? You smoked? Toshinori blurted out. Then, stern, you're not smoking again. Aizawa just rubbed at his eyes with a pained exhalation, muttering to himself as though he hadn't heard. I'm so fucking strung out, I can practically taste it. I want to focus so badly, damn. Toshinori looked between his co-teacher and the machine in panic, as if realizing the alarming nature of the situation far too late. Please, Aizawa-kun, please don't make this choice. Toshinori pleaded, barely resisting the dramatic urge to step between his co-teacher and the machine, which held such dangers among the gum and candy. What was a selection like this doing on the edge of a high school campus? Smoking is terrible for your health, and you were already strong enough to quit once. Don't put yourself through that again. Please, don't push the button.
I already pushed the button, Aizawa mumbled, brows high. I'm just standing here, deciding whether or not I want to waste 1,100 yen and give some lucky bastard a surprise.
Adrenaline electrified Toshinori's long body, perpetually late. He hurriedly stooped and grabbed around in the delivery spot of the vending machine and felt the little package, cold and crinkly to the touch and deceptively light. Victorious, he snatched it out and held it to his side, neck flaring hot at his own gall and daring. Here he was, a man who had leveled villains the size of high-rises, shaking down to his knees, trying to stop his new friend from going back to an unhealthy habit. Absolutely not, he said in his deepest voice, grasping for any bit of conviction. I'm not going to allow you to make this choice. Aizawa had watched it all with glazed eyes, scarcely responding, but simply tracking his movement, until he said that. Then a little life came back into his scruffy face. Life and anger. No, there's no allowing, Aizawa said sharply, with an edge of warning, and Toshinori immediately regretted his choice of words. Aizawa wasn't to be spoken to like a child, or worse, a villain. You're in no position to allow me anything. The younger hero then stepped right up to him, close enough to stifle his automatic apology. Aizawa smirked, but his expression didn't reach his eyes. By any stretch of the imagination. Looking straight up into his face, Aizawa looped a finger in Toshinori's belt and yanked, pulling him forward and snatching the box of cigarettes out of his hand in the same motion. He gestured between them with the box, unpleasantly pleased. That's not how this works, Toshi. This meaning their arrangement. Toshinori's face burned, half from the implication and half that precious new name used in such an unsavory way. And Aizawa was clearly very amused by how effortlessly he bent and relented. He took a step back and looked down at the ground, submitting, or at least telegraphing that he was. "There must be something we can do," he murmured into his collar after a tense moment, chagrined. "You," Aizawa said bitterly through his teeth, "can stop trying to override my fucking autonomy. It's annoying and insulting and I don't have time for it." "Why do you want to smoke?" Toshinori asked, at a loss. "I told you, between Shinzo and 1A and final exams, I'm so fucking strung out I'm gonna bite my tongue off in my sleep. If I can get to sleep." He finished ominously, and Toshinori's heart squeezed. The scene of his last insomniac attack was still too fresh for him to do anything but worry more. And the older hero's mind flew, grasping for anything he could do to intervene in what seemed to be a naturally difficult situation, not due for improvement. So he decided to do what Aizawa did to, for him, ask questions. "Besides stressed, what are you?" When Aizawa eyed him with barely disguised contempt, like he needed no further defining characteristics at the moment, Toshinori scrambled, correcting, "What do you feel?" "Irritated," Aizawa said at length, little more than a growl. "Besides that, angry." "Angry? At what?" Toshinori exclaimed, stretched so thin he couldn't help but react and raise his voice. "Just angry." Aizawa's tone said he was getting angrier. Toshinori put a hand to his broad forehead, practically rattling himself apart with nerves. Why did this man have to be so difficult and singularly unpleasant? "And besides that?"
hungry, Aizawa bit out, patience clearly spent. Toshino, there, that, food, I can bring you food, Toshinori exclaimed, like he had just found the right combination for a safe. He punched his fist into his palm, baring his teeth in a sort of stunned grin. I can do that. If I can help and reliably bring you meals, so you can stay well-nourished and don't have to worry about eating, will you put off your decision to start smoking again? At least for a week. Please. Aizawa glared up at him with a set jaw, considering. Cold sweat prickled Toshinori's back and sides, and he forced himself to wait. To let Aizawa come to him. Because any change for the better or against temptation like this would not be forced. He was beginning to learn that, and only hoped that whatever their bond was, it was strong enough to allow Aizawa to relent just a little. Trust and give up this part of his burden to him. Finally, after what seemed like an eon, Aizawa snorted and put his hand out, and Toshinori seized the cigarette so quickly he was relatively sure he activated all for one. And certainly it felt like electricity was zipping over his skin. Or maybe that was just the extent of his relief to have the damn things out of Aizawa's hands. Thank you, he gasped, stuffing them in his coat pocket. Away, out of sight. I'm not promising anything, Aizawa grunted. A familiar phrase by now. Toshinori shook his head, bangs flapping. Promises. He'd long come to realize were often not realistic and failed to take into account free will, or just ugly happenstance. Let's just try, okay? He said breathlessly, hopeful. Then he put his very empty hand out, and they shook on it, the older hero unable to help but squeeze Aizawa's hand, as if to solidify their deal. The homeroom teacher snorted, as if he'd had his fill of meddling and friendship and speaking. And he turned and departed without another word. Toshinori watched him wander down the street, breathed out, and felt all of the confusion and frustration crash in on him at once. A persistent rattle seized his long limbs, and he was reminded once again of how late it was, how lonely and strange it was to be standing in an abandoned bus stop at this hour. He felt for the box in his pocket again, ghosting his fingers over the cheap plastic, and feeling a gritty kind of determination take hold. This was not happening. Aizawa was not going back to smoking just because he had too much to do, and certainly not if Mike and Midnight, star meddlers of UA, had anything to do with it. Between the insomnia attack a few days ago and his attempts to self-sabotage, Aizawa wasn't unjustified in wondering why he was fucking himself up like this over a general studies first year. Some days were better than others, admittedly, and he was trying to keep that in mind whenever his personal problem bungled a basic move or dropped his stance. It was a solid morning that day, and a blessing when Shinso waited until the end of their sparring to start fucking bugging him about Toshinori again. They were toweling off in the grass and working on unwrapping their feet in the slanting light of the early morning, when Shinso oh so casually asked him what Yagi-san did for the school, and if they were really good friends during middle school, and if he was dating anyone, or had ever dated anyone. It was all Aizawa could do not to smack him as he prattled, a feat, considering the limited amount of sleep he'd gotten that week. Then, as if summoned by sheer inconvenience, the towering man appeared across the track, done up in his enormous slacks and dress shirt, and bringing his usual gifts of onigiri and juice. Keeping in mind their discussion about food, and Toshinori's general compulsive over-attentiveness when he scented struggle or suffering, Aizawa watched the older hero approach with a little more caution than usual. Which, of course, Shinso noticed, far more attentive to his teacher's mythological love life than his very concrete lessons. Leaning forward, mouth half-pursed, in a vision of Cheshire knowingness, the kid drew breath to snark, and that was enough to get Aizawa on his feet and walking to meet his co-teacher, partly to gather their breakfast, but mostly not wanting to put up with Shinzo's shit. Said shit ended up following him, of course. Because of all the things he'd given Shinzo, apparently range was the thing that was going to come back to bite him in the ass. "Hey, Aizawa-sensei, think fast!" Toshinori peered behind him, over his shoulder, and Aizawa turned, already grimacing in confusion and instant irritation. Of all things, an apple was flying towards him, and he flung out a hand. "What the hell are you?" His mind cleared, instantly, wiped clean. With a lavender pop, felt rather than heard, a silky hiss diffused through Aizawa's entire body and emptied his eyes, and he caught the apple perfectly. The sun glared off the red skin in such a way that it was all his mind could hold. Aizawa turned forward, his limbs lagging as though pulled by dark water. Tall and careful, Toshinori came to a stop in front of him with a cafeteria convenience box in his big hand. Lunch rushes work, for students too busy to dine in. He refocused. Toshinori. The older hero's expression was a bit concerned, but he smiled faintly. He always found a way to smile. "I'm sure you'll have room for this, too," Toshinori chuckled, as if from 1,000 miles away. "I mean, you don't like fruit, do you?"
"You don't?"
"No, I don't," Aizawa heard himself say, serene and easy. He really only liked juice when it came to fruit. And even that was just a way to get sugar.
"You appreciate him. Show it."
Then Aizawa's hands reached forward of their own accord, but there was no panic in him. He took the food box and put his hand over Toshinori's warm, crooked fingers, gripping. He smiled a light, bright, joyful smile.
"I was actually wondering if you wanted it. I'm so grateful for you bringing my student and I food when you can. I wanted to show my appreciation. Won't you join us for breakfast, senpai?"
Toshinori's blue-black eyes widened, and slowly, very slowly, he withdrew his hand and edged away, step by step, palms up in the air. His expression bordered on terrified, which Aizawa noted with only curiosity as the older hero turned and began to walk, then jog hurriedly away across the field, golden head ducked low. Within a moment, Toshinori became nothing more than a silhouette. As he left the field, another purple pop, followed by a cool sizzle. Then, pure rage. Aizawa turned on his heel, feeling flooding back into his limbs. And there was Shinzo, now 50 feet away and swinging his legs on a set of long bars, with a bright orange sucker hanging indolently from his lip. He winked. Chucking the apple to the ground, Aizawa threw himself in his general direction and made short work of getting familiar with his body again. "You little shit!" he snarled, tearing towards him. His brain, freshly hijacked, locked up on the sheer amount of verbal profanity he ethically couldn't unleash on the kid. So he grabbed into the first thing that pissed him off. "That sucker's not on your meal plan. Spit it out or I'm gonna choke you with it."
"What? I wanted to have breakfast with Yagi-san,"
Shinzo called petulantly as he swung himself to the ground, sticking a stupid and completely unnecessary 3-point landing with a borderline demonic snicker. He looked over his shoulder, voice low.
"You were just too chicken to ask him, so I helped."
It was a good chase. Aizawa would admit. Later. Much later. Their training was working. Shinzo had gotten stronger and faster, and the next trick he pulled with the bars was good and proved that his mobility had improved significantly, as well as his thinking on his feet and making use of environmental props. But Aizawa had been a pro hero for years and wasn't about to suffer any fools under his care. He pinned the brat within minutes and smacked his head once, twice with the flat of his hand. His breath came heavy and harsh, more out of explosive frustration than exertion, as Shinzo coughed or laughed, it better be coughing, and shielded his face very effectively.
You're getting better at throwing your voice, but do that again and I will kill you. Aizawa hissed into his ear. His neck was blistering red. He could feel it. Again, frustration, not exertion.
And definitely not embarrassment.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe he doesn't like you. He seemed pretty scared. Shinso giggled thickly, fresh blood streaming from his nose. Oh my god, that was so worth it. Oh my god, wow.
You're bleeding, Aizawa huffed abruptly, as if just registering the bright red smear.
He got to his feet as hurriedly as the shock would allow. He tried to calculate, to triage, or just mentally backtrack and see if he had accidentally bloodied Shinso's nose, but nothing in his head would budge. So Aizawa dug his toes in the grass and took a deep breath of the clear morning air and tied his hair up, trying to ground and gather some semblance of self from the edge of a freakout he just couldn't have right then, right there. A fucking brainwash freakout. Shit. Mostly, Aizawa tried not to shoot the kid one last seething glare, because hero role models didn't give their students the stink eye. Or so a certain nagging pro told him. Go see the nurse or something, he ordered, wiping his own nose reflexively and glancing up at the angle of the sun. His brain started moving. Damn, I have to get to class. He straightened himself out and started walking away, already exhausted and wondering how the hell he was going to make it through homeroom like this. Then Shinso's voice carried over the early morning air, sudden and sharp. Are we still on for tomorrow? It took Aizawa a minute to even hear the question, or understand why it was being asked. Then that rope between them tightened again, pulling on jagged pieces of himself that Aizawa had long sealed away. The old fear, deep and empty as a well, that simply using his quirk carried the threat of driving people away. A chill grazed his spine, and he had to reach for the grass underneath his feet again. Hold still. Breathe out. 5 a.m., he grunted over his shoulder, an hour earlier than usual. Still on his ass in the grass, Shinso grinned and wiped his nose, smearing red across his cheek like the happiest of idiots. I can do that. So, the two of them stood at the counter of the staff room, Aizawa for coffee, Toshinori for emotional torture. The fiend in question was gently tapping his folder against the side of his long leg, blue-black gaze askance and smiling ever so slightly like he had been waiting. That wasn't me, Aizawa said quickly, lowly, focusing as hard as he could on pouring his coffee, because apparently it was fucking difficult. Once his mug was full, he shut his eyes again, as if he could lessen the pounding in his head. He and Shinso were going to have words about that quirk of his. Of course it wasn't you, my god, Toshinori said, with a strained laugh, covering his mouth before it stuttered into a cough. That was terrifying. You should use that face on the children. They wouldn't cross you in a million years. I think I'm still shivering. So I'm not allowed to be nice? Aizawa demanded, malevolently, glaring at him over the rim of his mug, suddenly and irrationally pricked. You have your own ways of being nice. That was not one, Toshinori assured him, shaking his head. When the younger hero's surly glaring didn't abate, he leaned down to smoothly cup Aizawa's elbow and ask, brimming with mirth and honesty, Shota-kun, why would I like anything that wasn't purely you? And just like that, Aizawa locked up again, brain fucking blanking. His neck was explosively red. He could feel it. He snorted with as much disdain as he could muster, but it didn't magically diffuse the prickling feeling or the sheer disbelief making his head sore. He didn't think he'd ever heard his first name uttered so quietly and with such amusement. So Aizawa did what he usually did when he was trying to keep his shit together, which was erupt with unprompted complaints. I hate that you bring me vegetable onigiri, he blurted out, teeth locked. You bring the good stuff for the kid, but not for me. It's stupid, and we had a deal. Have a deal now, so get with it. If Toshinori was startled by the vehemence and weirdness of his response, he gave no indication. It was Aizawa's first real hint that being as unpleasant as possible with the older hero wasn't actually going to get him anywhere in the long run. And it had very little to do with All Might's saintly reputation. Though it was currently beyond the skeptical man's scope of belief, maybe Toshinori meant what he said. Maybe he liked him for who he was. An earth-shattering concept. "I'll try to fix that," Toshinori amended with a chuckle, giving his elbow a fond little pat and waving as he left, like nothing was wrong. "Just trying to get your vegetable allotment in, my friend. Forgive my audacity." The door closed a moment later, and Aizawa covered his face and forced himself to sit back against the counter and be still, having some sort of delayed freakout under the combined forces of his first brainwashing and whatever wild shit Toshinori had just hit him with. His heart was pounding, just fucking wailing on his ribs. Why? Why did he have to be like that? Say such stupid things? Stupid kid. Stupid Toshinori. Aizawa groaned into his hand, overcome by the sheer amount of stupidity in his life. God, he was not prepared to be a mentor. Who thought this was a good idea? Fuck. But he found one thing to grab onto, one thing to focus on, distracting enough that he could feel the panic start to ebb. Toshinori, specifically regarding their little argument the other day about when he was allowed to be frisky, trauma or no, how hard he was going to blow that man. Which was hard. So hard, Toshinori would regret everything. Ever crossing him. Ever beginning this whole mess or saying anything difficult to him. Ever being so relentlessly and unquestionably kind. Aizawa's eyes narrowed as he slowly stirred his coffee. They'd see how Toshinori liked this version of nice once he really put his back into it.